Okay, I'll mute the call here. And Dad, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so everybody, welcome to tonight's call. I'm really excited about it because I have a special guest, and as you heard earlier, I used the word dad, and it is my dad. His name is Dr. Marvin Galper, and you'll be hearing from him in a few minutes. And it's a really honor to have him with us tonight because he obviously is my dad, and he was very much involved with helping me kind of develop Unlock the Game from the early days. And he has a way of explaining what Unlock the Game is in a deeper way than I can because of the fact that he's a psychologist and he's able to articulate things that even I can't or nobody else can related to what we do and with Unlock the Game and why it's so special. And I think by you hearing this from him in a deeper way of why Unlock the Game is so profound and powerful, it'll give you much more confidence and more understanding of why it's so good for everybody in terms of the approach. But let me just welcome everybody to our call tonight. I just wanted to mention, it's funny, I just got an email from someone recently asking me, you know, why I'm living in Australia, and I wanted to kind of address that for a few minutes. I also mentioned that in my newsletter. It's coming out, should be arriving next week as well, but it wasn't anything as exotic as running away from anybody chasing me, but the truth is I actually met my wife on the internet about 6 years ago, and she's from Australia, and we met on a dating site. I was from San Diego. She was actually living in Los Angeles at the time, and we connected that way. She saw my profile, saw my picture, and I like Latin dancing, and she emails me. We had a relationship for 6 months, and then she says to me, why don't you come to Australia and meet my family in Sydney? So I said, sure. So we actually went to Sydney, me for the first time, and met her family and just, you know, loved the city and loved her even more. We got engaged when we were there, and then we came back to L.A., planned our wedding, and we came back and got married in Sydney. And the plan was to basically live in Los Angeles, come back in L.A. and stay in L.A. and grow and Unlock the Game. But just after a couple months of being back from our honeymoon, we had a wonderful gift, our son Toby. And Toby's a very special boy. He has Down syndrome and some wonderful gifts that he's given us. And we decided that he'd have a better life in Australia because there's more family for him there, a very small family in San Diego. So we decided for his future that we'd move there. And if you don't know much about Toby, you can go to tobysbook.com. I've wrote a book about him there, tobysbook.com. There's a whole story behind that in itself. We can discuss it another day. But that's really the reason why I'm living in Australia. So it was for love and nothing else. So in case anybody was curious about that, that's the answer. And I explain my whole story. It's in the newsletter next week. Look for it in the mail. So now that we kind of talked about that a bit, I wanted to, you know, introduce my dad, Dr. Marvin Galper. Like I said earlier, he was really instrumental in helping me create the whole premise behind Unlock the Game, and he views it at a much deeper level than I can because of his background, and I'll have him tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. But he's able to explain the deep psychology behind the bonding that takes place with Unlock the Game, comparing it to traditional selling. So with further ado, Dad, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Maybe you can just share with everybody, you know, your background, and we'll kind of take it from there.
Well, I'm a psychologist, and I decided to become a psychologist because I have basically a nurturing kind of personality, and it was kind of wanting to help people and heal people, more like basically like a feeling of finding a bird with a wounded wing at the side of the road, and then healing its wing and sending it on its way with a feeling of satisfaction. But basically, to be a social service kind of personality, and I've been primarily a therapist most of my 45 years in the field.
Okay, well, that's good. So now we have, yeah, that's good. Now they have a sense of your background and why, if that's a beautiful story about why you've become a psychologist, and why don't we kind of move into what you and I talked about a couple of days ago, some of the deep differences between traditional selling and Unlock the Game and some of the assumptions between the two, and kind of share with us more about, at the relationship level, what's occurring in both modes and how does it impact the person selling and the receiver and kind of what we talked about. Let's just kind of move from there. We'll kind of evolve it from that conversation.
Okay, Ari. I think we should start with a few definitions, basic definitions. First of all,
okay.
What's the sales interaction? Is the involvement between the salesperson and the potential client? I consider it a relationship. What kind of a relationship is it? It's a temporary relationship, and it's short-lived. It has its course, and then it comes to an end, and it's superficial at the surface level, as contrasted with a personal relationship, which is open-ended. A personal relationship with a friend or whatever can go in any direction whatsoever that the two parties decide to move in, whereas a sales involvement is limited by the borders, the boundaries of the potential sale. So now I can talk a little bit about the difference in between the basic assumption of traditional selling and the basic assumption of unlock the game, making
okay.
a contrast here. The traditional selling assumes that success in selling requires a unique way of thinking and behaving different from all other healthy relationships. And the basic assumption of unlock the game is dramatically different, because the UTG basic assumption is that success in selling is based on the same essential human ingredients as any other kind of healthy relationships. So I think from there, the next thing to talk about logically would be, what are the difference between healthy versus unhealthy relationships, specifically as they apply to traditional versus UTG. Let's see. First, the different facets of a healthy relationship. The foundation of a healthy relationship is mutual respect. OTG is based on respect on the salesperson's part for him or herself and for the potential client. The mutual respect in OTG generates mutual trust and openness in the involvement. And in contrast, the traditional approach generates suspicion and defensiveness on the part of the potential client. In OTG, the client's basic humanity is acknowledged. And as a result of that, the involvement between the salesperson and the potential client is as a humanizing effect. It leads to...
Let me just stop there for a second and just kind of comment on a few things that you're saying that I'm kind of picking up here. Is that one thing that Unlock the Game does that traditional selling does not do is provide the person who's selling, in our view, with a level of their own self-respect. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And that self-respect that we give ourselves is because we're treating the other person as a human being and not a prospect, right?
Yes, well, it starts with respect for ourselves. We can't respect someone else unless we respect ourselves first, but then it sort of becomes, it snowballs. If both parties respect each other, then it can become even stronger, become enhanced, the mutual esteem.
Interesting. So this whole idea of respecting ourselves and who we are as a human being allows us to then respect the other person as a human being and treat them that way, yet what traditional selling, the notion of respect does not exist.
It's not
because
part
you're
of the
viewing
schema.
The other person
no.
as an object, right?
Yes. And actually,
okay.
Do you have another point right now, Ari?
No, go ahead.
Okay, well, you see, in traditional selling, actually, the potential client is seen as an object to be maneuvered to meet the salesperson's needs. But in OTG, the potential client's freedom to make his or her own choices is to meet their own needs, to meet the client's own needs, is accepted. So because the interaction, the involvement between both parties is humanizing, that inevitably leads, when that happens, inevitably leads to a personal connection to some extent. And this connection makes a certain amount of mutual personal nourishment possible, which is really what happens when someone says, I'm enjoying my sales work more, I'm enjoying my contacts, potential clients more. It's probably because of the freedom and the comfort and the involvement, and possibly because of the element of personal nourishment that's there, because you're being authentic and you're being yourself, and you're giving permission and encouraging by doing so the potential client to be at the same level.
Okay, so you said a lot in that one breath, and I want to see if I can break it down for myself and for everybody. You said a really interesting, important, very important word I've never really used before when I described Unlock the Game, and that is the word personal nourishment. And
yes,
that's the word that you use, you know, you use,
yes,
commonly probably with your, you know, your patients, and it's a way of, you know, it's another way of viewing what we're doing is giving us that nourishment to, as we're a human being and the other person at the same time. And by doing that, that in itself creates a connection between two people that is the beginning of a relationship, right?
Yeah, it's an encounter, actually. Even though you may not talk about personal matters with the potential client, because you're just being yourself and you're encouraging that other person to just be themselves, then the authenticity and the groundedness sort of like that inevitably brings a certain amount of nourishment. And it just kind of happens, and it may be kind of subliminal, but when the enjoyment is there, you know that the nourishment is happening.
And can nourishment
whether
sort
the
of
sale,
be a word for
whether the sale take closes or doesn't close? You know, you could say, well, that's why sometimes it's OTG person will say the when it ends, you know, well, we didn't end up coming to a mutual terms, but it was nice talking with you. That's really between the lines of saying it's been a nourishing interchange.
Can nourishment also be the beginning of a trust? Of trust being built between two people as well?
It's just part and parcel. There are ingredients that are interwoven.
Okay, okay. And one thing you said too, just in that thought before, was that with Unlock the Game, we're allowing the other person to be able to decide where they want to go, as opposed
go ahead.
Traditional selling, right?
Right.
Because traditional selling is where we try and make them go to a place where we want them to go, right?
Yes, because the traditional salesperson enters the sales conversation with a preconceived agenda and a game plan, and that preconceived agenda makes open listening very difficult for the traditional salesperson, whereas the OTG salesperson has an open mind and is willing to let the conversation follow its own course to a natural conclusion. And this attitude on the part of the OTG person leaves his or her mind free to truly listen with a mind that's not cluttered by any preconceived agendas.
I see. So that's interesting. So if you have a hidden agenda in your mind when you're talking to somebody, and in the sales environment you're thinking about the next steps or if they're a good client, you really are unable to listen to the extent where you can actually, you know, connect with them at that nourishment trust level. It's just not,
well,
it's
because
just
your mind is
to do
your
that.
Mind is full of thoughts about the next steps to make in your pattern or maneuvers.
Right.
And that just that doesn't leave you free to kind of be there with the potential client.
Interesting. Well, that really goes to what we talk about in our program about, you know, not focusing on making the sale, being present, focusing on the two-way conversation, because all that directs your mind to being able to listen free of other thoughts. And that's why it does give clarity to why it's so critical to be present with people and not focus on the next step, because like you said, when you can be in that mode like that, it automatically creates that that connection and trust. And if you don't, if your mind is someplace else, you never get that level with somebody, right?
Yeah, if you're just being yourself, and Ari, I like I said the outset, I really clearly see the difference between a sales relationship and a relationship in our personal lives with family and friends. But at the same time, I see such a enormous common ground between the two, despite the differences. Like, for example, if we're in a, and I just think of examples from personal life, it really enhances the way I, the clarity with which I see Unlock the Game and the impact. For example, if we're in a party with a bunch of people who are like quote-unquote phonies, then it's very hard for us to be ourselves because they're not giving us permission by their behavior. We give ourselves permission by our behavior to on how to for the other person to be. If they're being phony, they're not giving us permission to be ourselves. And we it's very difficult for us to be other than somewhat stilted and artificial. But if we're in a party and everyone is just kind of being themselves, then just by their behavior, it has nothing to do with anything they say or don't say. It's by their very being. And by you might say by their example, they're giving us permission to be ourselves. And then we just kind of can relax and let our hair down more and maybe have more fun because it's what they're really saying to you, look at me, it's okay for me to be me. And you're saying, well, under the lines, between the lines, under the surface, and without a lot of conscious thinking about it at that good party, we're saying under the surface, well, if it's safe for them to be themselves, then it's safe for me to be me. And then we kind of relax and we're just ourselves and we enjoy more. And the same thing happens under the surface. When we're being are free to just be ourselves and relax and just connect with the potential client and unlock the game. Am I being clear about that?
Right. So that's the reason why our members who really understand and use this the right way, when they themselves can be relaxed and be authentic, what they experience on the other side of the phone is the other person following the same pattern, which is letting go of the game and being themselves. It's like one takes the other the same direction, right?
Yeah, and that's the definition of an authentic relationship. An authentic relationship, authentic sounds like an abstract word or maybe a little fancy word, but all it means is being real. When we're free to be ourselves and be a real person, and the other person is free to be themselves and be a real person. That's the essence of a healthy relationship, and that's the essence of the UTG model because it's based on what works and what's good for all of us.
Wow! So you're getting total clarity the fact that traditional selling is the definition of unhealthy relationships.
Yeah.
And Unlock the Game is the definition of true relationships because it humanizes both sides.
It's sort of Unlock the Game is sort of like a clearly defined structure of healthy relationships. It's all within the framework of a potential sale. That makes a difference from an open-ended personal relationship, but it's nonetheless it has all the essential ingredients of any healthy relationship if it's done right.
You made a comment that traditional selling can be mutually dehumanizing on the unconscious level, which dehumanizes the actual person selling as well. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, if we treat another person as a thing, as an object, then at some level within ourselves, less than the conscious level, we ourselves become somewhat of a thing. Another way of saying the same thing is if we treat the traditional salesperson who treats the client as an object to be maneuvered and manipulated and molded, then that person is treating, it becomes himself or herself at some level dehumanized a little bit, although they are not consciously aware of it. And, you know, if go back to an application in personal life, if we're at a party and we meet someone who is quote-unquote a phony, then we're going to draw back from that person. We're going to feel a distaste for that person. And we may not be able to articulate at the deepest possible level consciously, but we just know we don't want to have any more contact with that person. Well, this is why many salespersons who grew up with the traditional approach, that's why they find traditional selling artificial and unpleasant and distasteful, and they very often have this feeling this is not me. Because while they're involved with the traditional kind of way, they're at some level have a sense that they're unintentionally damaging their own authenticity. And when they do that, they're unintentionally, they can, their sense, the salesperson's self-esteem can become a little damaged. Because again, they're not being themselves.
Well, that's very deep. And just for those of you who just came out of the call, this is my dad, Dr. Marvin Galper, who's a 35 years in psychology, and he's giving us a very 45 years in psychology, and giving us a very deep understanding of what actually the current, the river that happens underneath Unlock the Game, and why it flows so well with us and people outside our world, it doesn't, and whether they themselves ship with their own authenticity and self-esteem at the same time, you know, play this game and burn relationships and get burnt out. And we're, and that's probably one of the reasons why I hear so many people tell me after they get into our program that they actually, you know, besides them making more sales, they actually enjoy the interactions for the first time again. They enjoy talking to people. They enjoy connecting with people, because I think what you're saying is finally they've realized that they can be themselves in a way where they connect with people, and that river flows back and forth both directions.
And even enhance their income at the same time.
Yes, because the ironic thing of all this, as we all know, that the more you connect with people and the more you build trust with them, the more they want to work with you and buy what you have. That's just automatic. So we don't have to focus on that, because we all know that if you build trust with people, things just start to happen. And
right. That's
why my focus has always been on the relationship. If it's done right, the results will come from it.
And it takes courage, too, for the person learning UTG to step away from the body of conventional, of traditional sales thinking that they've been exposed to and have been told this is it, and move into what for them is totally new and uncharted territory. I don't want to be, this may sound very overdramatic, but it's a little bit like Columbus. You know, everybody said the world is flat, but he believed different. And it takes a lot of courage to move into unfamiliar territory, as you do, because of thinking, and as is so obvious to all of you, and what your inner experiences as a salesperson and what you say is so different, and it's a long-term learning process, as you know, to achieve the full mastery of it, to make a commitment.
Let's spend some time on that, because I've never used that word until now, but that word courage.
Uh huh.
That it takes courage to be able to let go and walk away the way you've been trained for years, or how you've been exposed to a belief system, and letting that belief system go to come back to what's most natural. And I think that's what people experience when they first join Unlock the Game and go through our process. They actually shed that role that they believe they're supposed to sort of carry with them, which is selling in this artificial way, and now they... Why did it take courage? How can people sort of find that courage?
Well, it's essentially the same thing as like a kid in high school. Everyone is into drugs around them, and then they decide they're going to step away from drugs. They're just going to say no, and even though everyone is saying that they're stupid or they're not cool, they have the courage. It has to do with faith in yourself. They have to listen to that own inner voice and respect that inner voice, which says to them that this traditional I've been learning, I'm discovering why it's all, now that I'm into UTG, I'm discovering why it's all wrong, why it's felt all wrong, because it is all wrong, and that just to sort of listen to your own feelings and listen to your own inner voice, and that takes courage, because most people tend to just sort of want to cling to the crowd.
That's very profound what you're saying now, where this is kind of going now is actually in the self-development area, where what you're saying here is that the more we listen to ourselves rather than outside influences that may not be congruent with what we believe in, the more centered and that we become, which allows us to have the courage to listen to our intuition and what we believe is right and act in that way, which, gosh, I wish, you know, we all had that feeling all the time, and that's something we, a lot of us struggle with, is is being not going with status quo and really trusting our intuition about what the right thing is to do. And now I can understand why there is courage to be able to sort of say, I'm not going to play this game and not be part of that old way of thinking anymore. I want to shed that and be my natural self, because when I can do that, then I can talk to people in different ways I didn't before. I connect with people, and I can, of course, all this ties down to listening and being humble.
John F. Kennedy wrote a book on profiles of courage, and like, you're a profile in courage, Ari, and every person that's listening now is a profile in courage in and of themselves, because they've taken a bold step away from the crowd and they've been rewarded for doing that. And so I congratulate them all and respect them all for that.
Thank you. And it's not been easy. It hasn't been easy for me. I can tell you, kind of going against the grain of every sales guru out there or every training program in corporate America or Australia, New Zealand,
Right.
And still selling the old way, you know, still making me all about, you know.
And this whole thing comes from your own faith in what your inner voice is telling you, Ari. That's what's held you together through this whole thing.
Thank you for that. Tell us more about, maybe we can talk for a few minutes about some of the languaging that I've created that matches up with the mindset of being censored and being yourself. Maybe you can, because I know everyone in our call knows some of the words that we use, like would you be open and
where should
we go from here. Tell us the psychology
behind why
that languaging is so powerful.
Right. Well, when you say, would you be open to, or where do we go from here, these are questions that convey an underlying message. And the underlying message is what you're really saying to the potential client. And they, believe me, they hear that message. They say, I respect your freedom of choice. I respect your freedom of to go whichever way you choose to that meets your own needs. And now we're equal partners, now that we've established some kind of grounding. And we're going to decide together what should happen next. And the trust that the two of us have developed together will make things right.
So the language that we've created for Unlock the Game gives the other person, it says between the lines, gives them permission to be able to share where they want to go and their truth of what's on their mind without them being forced into a yes or no or cajoled towards one position.
Yeah, well, I mean, we give them permission, yes, but we just acknowledge their right, because everyone has a right to make their own decisions. We say, we acknowledge your right as a human being to make your own decisions.
That's very deep. Let me just think about that for a second. So what the Unlock the Game language does, it gives the other person, it gives them, it validates their right
to make their own
decision. To be able to make their own decision.
Yes.
As opposed to traditional languaging or processes that
but
are designed.
You're going to go where I want you to go to meet my needs if there's anything I have to say about it.
I see.
In other words,
in many ways, in many cases, it can be perceived as selfish.
Yes, of course. That's by definition.
Right. Right.
And there's no encounter.
It's really
there.
A.
There's no encounter in that situation. No true encounter.
No encounter. It's almost like Unlock the Game is a world within itself. A world
it is.
Of values,
it's a microcosm.
It's a planet of a belief system and values that we believe in and how you treat other people. And then the other people out there who a lot of them are doing this, by the way, unconsciously, you know, not consciously, meaning that's all they know to do. They don't know that Unlock the Game exists, and so they just behave in the way they believe everyone should be behaving and assume that, you know, getting rejected and feeling bad about themselves and selling is all part of the natural game.
Right, that it has to be.
That's the way life is.
Yes,
But, like, you know, thank God for people who have come on our program now and are with us now and realize there's a whole other world that we can operate in without experiencing
Think about chipping away our self-esteem. Yeah, but think about
it.
If we were in our prison life getting rejected all the time, then we'd know something is wrong with the way we're approaching people, wouldn't we?
Well, it's almost like some people who maybe get abused in the relationships. You know, they when they get abused so much, That's their world. They assume that's just the way life is.
Some people grow up that way.
And I'm sure you had experience with people who've been abused and as your patients, you know. And,
right. Yes.
And you probably have to.
Go ahead.
And you probably have to take them to another place where they can realize there's another world. They don't have to be abused. Right.
People, some of my patients, that as children they were treated like an object and used and maneuvered and molded, then that'd be particularly hard for them to, in their personal relationships as adults, or even if they tried to be a salesperson, to get into the UTG mode, because they don't know that whole healthy part of life exists. They've had no experience of it.
Interesting. Well, you're tapping into something there. I do want to talk for a minute here before we kind of open up the call, and that is. Like you said, if you're a child and you're used to an abusive situation, it's hard to
free yourself
take these new ideas and evolve it. And what I find fascinating is a lot of my members and clients that I work with who use my program and stick with us, they tell me that once they get exposed to the game, it spills over into their personal lives, and all of a sudden they just find much more enriching lives around them with their wives and husbands and kids and friends and family, that somehow they apply a lot of this learning in their personal life, and then that opens up. What's your comment on all that?
Well, that's because the UTG tools they've acquired have made it possible to enhance their own authenticity and enhance their own openness and enhance their own faith in themselves, because in their sales work they found that having faith in themselves and being themselves works. So then it becomes all easier for them to be even more themselves and even more open and authentic in their personal lives, and then that can very easily lead to more enjoyment and enrichment in their relationships with friends and with families, and to finding themselves feeling more centered.
Isn't that amazing how we have to be trained to be authentic again?
Yeah, because everybody gets trained one way or another. Either they're trained unhealthy or they're trained healthy.
Right. I when I do a lot of speaking, I tell people, this is not sales training, this is trust training.
Yeah.
This is a system, the first ever system for how to create trust with people.
Yes.
So that both parties can be authentic, which immediately changes the entire game altogether.
Frame of reference.
Because there is no more game. There is no more game. And I think that's why Unlock the Game has impacted so many people and why we get so many success stories. And are there any last sort of overview comments or thoughts you want to sort of point out about what Unlock the Game does for us at a deep level?
Well, I just want to say just one thing, Ari, that it's really an emancipation for most people. It's a precious gift that I don't know anything else like it out there in the business world, but it comes from you and your own authenticity, and it's no surprise that you're the person that started the whole thing.
Well, this is a bit personal, but maybe it might help the members to hear a little bit more about me from your view.
Well, I'll tell you about Ari. I'll tell you about Ari. When Ari was growing up, he was the epitome of openness. If you wanted to know when he was a kid how he was feeling, all he had to do was look at his face. And he had this charisma. When he was a boy and adult, friends and family would come to visit, and when they were just kind of drawn to him, and when they left, invariably they would say to us, "What a nice boy." And it was hard for him to lie. He just had a hard time getting away with it. He was too transparent.
Exactly. Well said. Well, let me, I think that might wrap it up, and I'm going to open up the call to all the members and for some questions they may have or comments for you or any feedback at all.
That's fine.
But it's been great. It's been great just for me, for us to revisit again these things that we talked about 8 years ago, you know, in your house when we were thinking this through and comparing the old way and why it felt so bad. And then it's just evolved into this, but it helps me to bring me back to understand what the foundation of all this was, which was to connect people together, and then that connection results in results.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's
great
for me too, Ari, because this is the direction I always wanted you to evolve in from the get-go.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I wanted you to get to where you are now and sort of having it all like a whole structured system that can take people by the hand and help them to grow professionally and also personally, because I knew it would spill over into personal growth as well, which makes it all the more precious.
So are you saying you want me to be a sales psychologist and following your footsteps also?
Yeah, I'm saying that I always wanted you to be not a sales guru, but a sales psychologist, and you're becoming one more and more as we speak.
That's good. Okay, everybody. Well, what I'll do now is I'm going to open up the call for questions and just hit the tab here. And I think how it works, again, you hit star 6 on your phone, and if you have any feedback for my dad or for me from what you heard so far, please feel free to hit star 6 and share your thoughts about what you heard, because I know that you probably – this is not common business conversation. This is probably not something you hear every day, you know, on business calls. This is a whole deep level it's been a while since I heard this, so it's helped me. So if you have any comments from my dad or about what he said, please, this is a chance to share. If you want me to also help you a bit with things you're struggling with about the game or your problem statement or anything that you're stuck, this is your chance to ask us some questions. So I'll just hit the line here and we'll start with someone hear your comments and just say your name and where you're from. Hello, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Galper. This is Brian Britton, San Diego.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment. I didn't have a question, but my comment is this is just such a special treat to have you on tonight. Because, you know, Ari has a lot of great guests on these calls every month, but usually the people that he brings on are people that have, you know, had specific successes in their business, sometimes in their personal life, by adopting the mindset. But it's just such a treat for me to hear such a deeper explanation of what goes on in the human brain as we really adopt the mindset and get away from the traditional dominant manipulative sales practices that we've all been trained at. So real simply, I just wanted to thank you. I'm so filled with emotion right now just to be able to hear the secrets behind all this stuff. It just brings it to a whole new level of understanding for me. So I just wanted to thank you for joining us tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. That's great. Thank you for that. Okay, we'll try the next person here. Well, come on in. Let us know your name and where you're from and what's
this
on your
Tim.
Mind.
Tim from Ventura. I want to echo what Brian had to say, and I guess I'd like a little bit more perspective on a certain area, something that Brian and I have talked about. I am purchasing leads, and it would seem I'm new to Unlock the Game, and I'm new to purchasing leads, and it's definitely old school. The way they tried to sell me the lead program was old school. I'm using Unlock the Game languaging. But it would seem that the overwhelming numbers of leads are maybe gotten by a hook and crook, because most of them are bad, or the people deny ever. They're from the internet, so they've had to fill in information. So I just kind of want to get your perspective on that.
I'll make a comment on that, and that is that just real quick, for those of you who have a comment or questions, hit star 6, and we'll put you in the queue, and we'll let you in. If you have any questions for me or my dad, any comments or any thoughts about what's racing through your mind right now, please hit star 6. Now, so back to that whole lead issue, and I've kind of mentioned this before, since you're new, you know, I've heard this before, but there's this whole myth around leads where we automatically just think because we bought a lead of someone filled out a form, or we're buying a preset, you know, raising of hand of someone else, that somehow a lead is much easier to work with than making a call to someone who you never talked to before, like a cold call. And what I tell people when it comes down to leads, I say this. I said, look, do you have a previous relationship with these leads? Now, my guess is no, right? Because you just bought them from somebody else, right?
That's correct.
Which means this is a cold call. And what you need to put that into your mind, understand when you enter these calls, calling back this quote leads, you cannot make any assumptions that they're in any remotely interested or even remember or know why they've contacted you, which means this, you have to peel this thing back and go back to the basics right from the program and begin the call as if they don't know you, you don't know them, there's no previous history. This is not a lead. This is a cold call. Does that make sense?
It does, and I thought I was doing that. I guess I need to think of it a little bit harder. I mean, I guess my objection so far is that the overwhelming majority of the leads are just not even valid. There's no...
Okay. So all you have to do here, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be calling. You just have to be able to enter your own mindset, not looking at this as a lead, but looking at this as someone you're going to call right now to build a conversation, create some trust, and enter with a problem statement as if you would call anybody else who didn't know you yet. So I'm just trying to set your expectations right so you're not thinking for some reason this calling these people should be easier or should be different.
Okay. I think I get it.
So, all right, just have a talk with your coach and then have them create for you your problem statement. Then it'll make everything easier for you when you call them back. You'll be able to know right away if they're fit for you or not.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And try the next person here. I think that might be Michelle. Michelle, is that you? Hello? The next person?
Oh, hi, yeah. Ari. Hi, Dr. Galper.
Yeah.
This
Hello,
is Michelle Nixon. Man, it's a real pleasure to finally get to hear the sales psychology. You know, I've had my theories and I just want to personally thank you. I don't think I've had to pay for psychiatrists because of this program. It's just amazing. And I think the biggest help that I got from your program was trusting others with time. I never could slow down. I was afraid if I didn't do my 30-second commercial, they would hang up on me. And what you said about the trust, you know, when it's like when you get what you give, and when you're willing to be vulnerable with another human being, and you just take your time and slow down, an amazing thing happens. All that fear about people rejecting you and wanting to slam the phone down on you, somehow becomes very human, and people are kinder, and they will take the time to hear what you have to say. So I want to personally thank you for helping me slow down.
Thank you, Michelle. That's wonderful. Dad, did you catch all that?
Oh, yes. That's great, Michelle. I'm happy to hear that.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
No problem. Okay. Let's try the next person here that's coming online to share with us your name and where you're from. Are you there? Next person? Okay. We'll try somebody else. Here we go. Are you there? Next person? I'd like to ask a question.
Yeah, hi. Hello, it's Brenda Thompson here from Melbourne in Australia. And hi, can you hear me?
I hear
you.
Yeah, great. This is a comment, I guess, rather than a question. And I'm absolutely blown away. Thank you so much for this call. I have a psychology degree. I spent years doing counseling, coaching kinds of things. And I started to listen to your stuff, Ari, and I thought, oh, I'll go and pull out the old helping skills books and those kinds of things. And then to hear that this came from the mindset, from that mindset, was like, thank goodness I can throw away all the sales training books and just focus on what I really used to be good at.
So you're like, so come back home again, yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. And what really struck me was I was thinking about my counseling voice as opposed to the voice I developed as a salesperson. And it's a totally, totally different voice. So thank you so much.
Oh, that's great. That's so great. Pleasure to hear that.
Wow, thank you for that. That goes down to having your one voice of who you really are and your true voice. And that's what draws people towards you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. That's wonderful. Okay, we'll try someone else here. Okay, next member, are you there?
Yes, this is Linda from Ohio.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, we can.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment. It was very wonderful to hear not only the explanation behind Unlock the Game. I just recently received my material, but something that Dr. Gelbert mentioned is having the courage to do something different. It not only goes along with the way that I think mentally, but also the way in which I believe. But my question is, how do I open my manager up to this new idea of making cold calls instead of just saying you need to get so many calls in per day, building trust and relationships with the people that I'm calling? What would be some suggestions that I could possibly implement that might work for me?
Ari, I've heard that question many a times.
Yeah, yeah. This is very, very common where you work for somebody else and you want to share with them this approach. Now, let me tell you the pragmatic way of handling this, and that is for you to keep this to yourself. Do not tell your manager about this until you experience success, because only in terms of better conversations, more sales, however you measure success with your manager, that's the point in which you bring this up to them, because then they can see some hard results. They go, okay, how are you doing this so well all of a sudden? How are you having better conversations? How are you talking to gatekeeper? What are you doing differently? Once you have that in your hand, then you can roll back and say, well, let me tell you about a program I've been studying. Because if you start the reverse and say, let me share with you my new approach, you know, they're going to say, well, go back to the phone and start selling again. So they're not in that frame of reference when they're ready to do something like that, because they're not in the phones themselves. So I would recommend study, master, use this. Keep it to yourself, get results, and then when they see results coming in, then explain it. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. Now, they do know that I have taken the class on cold calling, but as far as the rest of the program, I haven't gone into any details. But I have an old school manager, and he insists on making so many calls per day. So it doesn't matter. He sent me an email. It doesn't matter about the activity. What he's concerned is how many dials I'm actually making.
Right. So you're hitting a complete wall here of somebody who's not focusing on how deep you go on each call. All he's focusing on is how many calls you've made.
Yes. And I've tried to.
Right.
I've tried to to explain that the process in which I'm going through is I'm building relationships, because as the people trust what I'm saying, they're more likely to open up and share with me what their needs are, and I can determine
well,
if what I'm selling is
yeah.
a good fit.
It's going to be a losing battle to try and convince them you're going to have to make your calls and go deep on your calls. If there's some way you can record your calls to have him listen and to how much a customer is sharing with you in terms of, you know, next steps and all that. Is that possible?
I am going to invest in something where I can actually do that and maybe show him the extent of how long it may take me. Usually, if you're just dialing, you can probably just dial someone and you're on the phone for maybe just a couple of seconds, you know, a minute at the most. But one call I did, I was actually on the phone for almost an hour because we were talking about things that were pertinent to them.
I understand. You just need some hard proof. And then the more you're into our program, too, we'll show you some pragmatic ways to to keep the conversations not so long but more effective. So just hang in there. The things will get better for you.
Thank you.
Great, no problem. We've got two more folks here, and then we'll bring it to an end. I got John. Are you there? I think you're just on the queue. You there, John?
This is Will.
Are you there? Great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, yeah, this is Will Hankey from Boston area, and I want to say thanks for the conversation today, Dr. Galper. It's really appreciated.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a couple questions in regards to a little background. I've been with Online Game for probably about 4 months so far, and it's been very effective for me. And I'm at a point now where I moved across country out to Boston here, and so I'm new to the area and everything. I'm just trying to build up that referral-based business and getting, like, testimonial letters and everything. So I'm kind of circling back to my existing customer base and asking for, like, referrals and testimonials. And I'm getting a lot of, like, yeah, we'll do it for you, but there's no action being taken. And I don't want to be, like, too pushy here or there and trying to, you know, have these people help me out. I just want to have any advice on that at all.
Well, when it comes to referrals, you want to ask them for a referral at a certain point of the relationship, and that is when they're experiencing you the best, meaning, like, they just bought your product and, like, they love it. They just got their first results from what they bought from you. You have to ask them for testimonials and referrals only at those moments when they're basically in their high of using your product. You know, there's certain moments when you buy someone's stuff and, like, you experience the new of it, and you go, wow, this is great. So just think about your sales process, and when they buy what you have and they begin to see the results of it, that's the moment to ask them, because you really can't ask them after that. You can't ask them, like, later, because they're already past that mode. They're already thinking about something else. So can you just think about the points in your process where your clients are the happiest and then ask them right there at that spot, at that moment?
Yeah, most definitely. I think just when you, like, you know, when you – I sell a coffee service and sell refreshment services. So, and I guess when we go in there and like, install our equipment and they get up and going with, like, a different brand of coffee that tastes a lot better and their employees are really happy, so – Probably, pretty quickly after the account has been installed, within, like, the first couple of days, once we're up and going.
If you know that to be the moment of when they're the happiest with you, then you need to set up your system to call them after the second day of it was installed, and when you know that clients have experienced the new coffee, and just call and say, hey, I'm just calling to get some feedback on the coffee, and if your client have had anything yet, and then that's when the moment they go, yeah, we have people like it. Well, great, you know, that's fantastic. You know, would you be open to maybe thinking about other restaurateurs that may also have a need for this, or would you be open to maybe just sharing, you know, your story about how you're enjoying this in some kind of written form? Would you be open to that? So that's the moment to ask it right there. After that, it's too late.
Perfect. Yeah, I think I've been waiting way too long to do it.
Yep, exactly.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Simply a matter of when to ask for it was your answer.
I appreciate that. Thanks for pointing it out to me.
No problem. Thanks a lot. Right. And we'll try the last person here, who's coming on board now. Welcome. Welcome to our call. Do you have any questions, comments?
Ari?
We're here. Yes.
Hi, this is Jean from Berkeley. Dr. Galper, I'm a psychotherapist. I currently have a private practice, and I have a side business that I'm working, a multi-level marketing business. And I guess my question is around, is there any hope for therapist types to be able to more engage in business? I mean, I feel like Unlock the Game is really my only hope to do so. There's some reason I want to be doing this, aside from financial ends of things. It's about asserting a certain part of myself and coming to, you know, just getting to know another part of myself that would be in business. I do like being a psychotherapist, but I think the combination would be good. But I get caught up with this sense of I'm not a business person. I'm not I know I'm not a sales type in terms of, you know, as Unlock the Game talks about, you know, you don't have to be that old type of salesperson. But perhaps maybe if I just keep in mind my authenticity that can help me when I start to feel like, you know, the business mode is so different than what I'm comfortable with.
Well, the good news is that you're your own person.
Okay.
And you just need to be grounded as you are as a therapist and just be yourself. There's no, certainly some helpful tools that the UTG provides, but you don't have to be anybody else except who you are. And just like this young lady from Australia said, that she finds herself finding her true voice, that she had a traditional sales voice, and she had her voice from her counseling, and now she finds that she's using Unlocking on ETG. She's back with a counseling voice, which is just she's being herself.
Thank
and
you.
You can be a little vulnerable, and that'll help.
Thank you.
And I'll make a thought, too, for you there, that somewhere in your mind, you're thinking that you as a therapist, and then you moving to the business world, you've got to be different. You've got to change. And that's making you feel uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think when you begin to realize that all you have to do is realize that whether you're in your therapy, you know, situation or in a business world, you're doing the same thing. You're connecting with people.
Okay.
And you're helping them solve their problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to change or behave in any different way than you are right now in your current, you know, work style. As long as you, you know, understand that's what you're doing. You just help people solve problems in business, and you want to connect with people at the same level you do now. And then there is not, it's the same world. It's just you remaining the same in both worlds. That's the difference.
Okay. Thank you so much.
That was
a lot of help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, everybody, you know, I hope you've enjoyed this call. I'll take us off mute for a second. And did you all enjoy this call with my dad? Great. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight. And maybe one day my dad and I will do our first ever seminar, father and son, together in one of these days. How's that sound, Dad?
Sounds great.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.